Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is paid for by Vincentian Collaborative Systems. Information on the program is intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio 1020 KDKA does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information aired on the following program.
Welcome to This Pittsburgh Life, featuring Vincentian's Nick Vizaka, President and CEO of Vincentian Senior Communities, where it's all about living.
Listen, the reason I just like Nick so much, it's his family, his story, his parents from Italy. He grew up in the shadow of the University of Pittsburgh. His father drove a Port Authority bus. I'm all in. And now he's doing great work with Vincentian Collaborative System. It's This Pittsburgh Life. Not about him. It's about This Pittsburgh Life. But we're going to share some great stories. Sally Wiggin is going to be here. Justin Stockdale, Pennsylvania Resource Council, is going to be here. But I want you to begin by saying hello to the audience and tell folks what we're going to be doing one Saturday a month for the rest of the year. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rob. Thank you so much. This is so exciting. When we approached you and KDKA, we thought there's so many great lives in Pittsburgh, and they need to be heard. We need to hear their story. It's not just my life, your life. There's transplanted folks that come from all parts of the country, and we adopt them as Pittsburghers. And we need to hear about them, especially our seniors. We thought about this, and a lot of our seniors have great stories to tell, but we don't hear these stories until after the fact. And is with Sally, that we'll hear later on today, she's had a great career in Pittsburgh. She's a legend. And one of the things that we want to know is what happens after retirement, Sally. And this is the thing we're going to talk about all year with our guests. We'll have celebrities, we'll have some fun, but we're also going to have some facts, and we're going to tell stories.
Listen, because you didn't make it to the Seven Fishes show, and I was hoping you were coming. Tell the folks a little bit about your mom and dad. And this is the only thing I'm going to ask you to do for me, because really they're such a big part of your life.
Yeah, mom and dad for me, they were everything. Without them, I wouldn't be here. I'm first generation Italian. So they came here, my dad with a fifth grade education, my mom a seamstress. My dad started working at Papercraft many years ago and then Port Authority as a bus driver. So I will tell you, I know every little secret road, every detour, everything around this city. But you know, he worked tirelessly for us. And my mom, as a seamstress, stayed home and took care of three, me and my two sisters. And to this day, they would do anything for us. And like I said, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here with you and have this opportunity. And I've been fortunate enough to find a wife who kind of emulates that with our three children.
You know, what amazes me, too, is when we met our initial meeting a few weeks ago, I could sense it has a lot to do with what you're doing today because of the foundation that your parents gave you, right?
That's absolutely right. I think, you know, I've been fortunate enough to work for great organizations in this city. I've worked for UPMC for the most part of my career, for Highmark, for PNC Bank. But at the end of the day, I think to have the opportunity to work at Vincentian and go home and feel like you made a difference in someone's life. You know, I tell this to my kids all the time. When it's all said and done and you die, I don't want the headstone to read, "Dad worked 20 hours a week. He was a great worker." You know, you want to leave a legacy. You want to leave something behind that says you left your mark on this world. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do.
So from South Oakland to Hampton, where you and your wife Marie and your three children are now, boy, you've seen a lot of people and they've touched your life, haven't they?
Seen a lot of people. South Oakland, my dad, as I said, Port Authority, worked in the East Liberty Garage and then moved out to Harmerville. So I grew up in the Allegheny Valley in Springdale. It's incredible. I look at the sign every time I come up the boulevard that says, you know, home of Dan Marino, Bruno Sammartino, and Andy Warhol. I want to take a Sharpie and put my name on there someday. Right?
Long before Google, there was this little thing called encyclopedias, right? But you can go to work every day, and there's people that are really wealth of knowledge, Google and encyclopedia, all rolled into one. Journeys, stories, moments, historic landmarks, events. You get an education, I got to believe, every time you go to work.
Every time I go to work, you're absolutely right. I can't tell you how, just talking to these folks, talking to these seniors. Some of them are retired CEOs, PhDs. I have a NASA, former NASA physicist. It's incredible. I told you the story when we met before. I have a woman in our Demerillac in Stanton Heights who worked for the city of Pittsburgh. And, you know, she actually automated the payroll system, an African-American woman in the 50s. It's history. It's incredible. Just to hear their stories, sit down and listen to them. My son interviewed a woman who just passed away at the age of 97, who was the first woman inducted into the Soldiers and Sailors Hall of Valor. She was an Army nurse. She cared for Japanese POWs. Incredible. But we don't know these stories until you start talking to them. They're very humble people. That's the Pittsburgh way. You're very humble. You don't beat your chest and say, look what I did. You keep it quiet and and that's the way I was brought up. You know, my dad would always say, you know, mouth shut, ears open, eyes open. So.
Yeah. And here's some money in case you need a Port Authority bus to get you
home.
No.
I always got the transfer. Oh, we don't want to say that too loud.
But their journey, what an amazing story. And again, tell the folks what we plan on doing over the calendar year, one Saturday a month, with what you're doing with This Pittsburgh Life.
We want to bring people in that have really impacted this region and have made this region what it is and really let them tell their story. And hear from them. And we'd like to hear from people, too. We'd like the feedback, whether it's on your Facebook or my Twitter. Let us know. Maybe there's somebody out there that you would like to showcase or like to hear from, and we'd love to do that.
All right, listen, we're going to take a break. So you and Sally, what are you going to be talking about?
Oh, we're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about Steelers. We're going to talk about life after, life into retirement. I want to get Sally's take on the big game with Bama and Clemson and a lot of things.
Jeez, you really came prepared, didn't you? I'm not used to all of this. All right, stay with us. We're going to come back. This Pittsburgh Life, in just a couple of moments, Sally Wiegand.
Welcome back to This Pittsburgh Life, featuring Vincentian's Nick Vizaka.
All right, Nick Vizaka back. This is Pittsburgh. Of course, This Pittsburgh Life, KDKA Radio, and rather appropriate, it would be on the Pioneer Broadcasting Station of America, November 2nd, 1920, KDKA Radio. So, if you will, let's introduce your very special guest for the next two segments. And once you mention her name, everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm so honored to be here with Please. Sally Wiegand. A legend.
What does that mean? I don't. There's so many
it doesn't
other
mean
legends.
Old, I'll tell you that. I'm sitting across Sally, and she looks like, you know, what she did when
Bill
I...
Bill Hillgrove is a legend. Myron was a legend.
Dan
Rooney was a legend.
Well, you know, growing up in Pittsburgh, and this is why it's exciting for me to get your take on retirement, you know, one of my first interactions with Pittsburgh legends was with Bill and Patty Burns many mm-hmm. years ago. I was a cancer patient at Children's, and their first Children's Hospital telethon, I was an inpatient.
I did not know that.
I was a cancer
You're kidding me.
That's right. I was a cancer patient, so when I saw...
What kind of cancer?
I had Hodgkin's.
You had Hodgkin's.
Right, and I saw Patty and Daddy doing the telethon, and I thought, wow, look at this. This is great. And then, obviously, Sally...
I never met Bill Burns. Interestingly enough, but I became friends with Patty, especially in the last, I talked to her in the last year of her life, and we got to be friends, and I so regret that I didn't get to know her well before then.
Yeah.
I did, because we admired each other. Now I'm going to start to cry.
No, don't cry. So I will say, so November 30th was your last day.
Yeah. Technically, my last day of working was the 6th, but we had made the agreement that officially that was my retirement date because it was the end of my contract.
So I work with a lot of retirees and seniors, and I don't think of you as a senior as I don't think of them. It's
when
just
I
the next
get
chapter.
Out of bed in the morning, I can barely move. So I think of myself as a senior.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, right? So you get up December 1st, and now you're officially retired. What's the first thought that comes into your mind?
The first thought was relief, excitement, nostalgia. Regrets, choices not made.
Regrets? Well, you got to tell us some regrets.
I think everybody does that as a senior. If someone says, I've lived a great life, I have no regrets, that's a lie. You may have lived a great life. Everyone has a regret because that means you've lived a perfect life. And the last time I checked, if you're a Christian or maybe in another religion, there would be something similar to this. You would have to have had a perfect life to have no regrets. It's all in how you handle regrets. if you learn from them, if you treasure them, if you think of them fondly, like if I maybe if I had made this choice, things life would be different. There was an opportunity to leave here, and I wouldn't call it a regret, but I wonder what my life would have been if I had left.
So when you look back on your career,
so that happens when you retire.
Mm-hmm. You've had the opportunity,
and everybody keeps asking you about it, so you start thinking about it.
Well, you've had the opportunity to meet and interview many people. In looking back, is there one person that you say, wow, I would have really liked to talk to that person or interview that person and just have a sit down with this particular person during your career? And I'm not going to say, you know, living or deceased. I'm saying during your span, you know, between that 1980 till...
Ooh, that I didn't get to interview.
It's a lot of people that you did interview, I guess. And so when looking back, I can't think of anybody that...
Oh, I know.
Uh-oh.
This is going to sound so silly. I am in love.
We'll be the judge of that.
I am in love with a certain actor. Everybody jokes about it, people who know me. I almost drove overnight to ABC. At the time, one of our former producers was the executive producer at Good Morning America, and he was going to be interviewed. And I thought about doing it. And a good friend of mine, I'm going to be joining her and her husband to watch the wild card game this afternoon. And I said, do you think that they would let me meet him? But I would have to drive all night. And it so smacked of being a stalker that I chose not to do it. He's an actor called Viggo Mortensen. He's probably going to be nominated for an Oscar. He's nominated for a Golden Globe this weekend. He's in Green Book. Did you see Green? He's a great...
History of Violence, tremendous.
Oh! Yeah. Oh, amazing movie. He should have been nominated for that. He was nominated for Eastern Promises, which was the same director. Yeah. Cronenberg, I think it is. Yeah. I fell in love with him when I saw Lord of the Rings.
So you've never gotten to meet him?
No. Fell in love with him. Read everything about him. People gave me a book of his poetry. Everybody. I had this big poster of him as Strikers. He was Striker, but he was actually Lord Aragorn. And this big, his speech in the final Lord of the Rings, he's on a horse and he's an incredible rider. And then Hidalgo, I think I've seen Hidalgo 15 times, but I wish I could have interviewed him.
So if we could have set that up, Rob, to have him walk through the door as we're talking.
I would faint.
Hidalgo that was a great movie, Hidalgo.
Hidalgo.
It was. Ooh. It didn't get great interviews, great ratings. I mean, like on Rotten Tomatoes, it would be probably maybe a tomato, but a small, but you know, like
60%. Not that he's not had a successful career, but I have to be honest with you. After seeing History of Violence, I thought he was going to become the next Clint Eastwood.
You know what? He did The Road here. And I have read that after doing The Road, and speaking of that, he was here a lot. People would see him, and he was in character.
Right.
He would be down at Harp and Fiddle, and they said he was so nice. But The Road was so emotionally devastating for him. I think he pulled away from acting for a while. I think that's what happened. Same thing that kind of Michael Keaton did. The height of everything, he backed away. And two great actors. But yeah, that's someone, I can't believe I'm saying that, but I'm going to, there are people that I never got to interview Obama.
Right.
Well, that's not true. I did. But it was for like, it was during a primary. So yeah, that's...
But there's still an opportunity, right? With Chronicle. I mean, you're still going to do Chronicle.
No.
No.
No, I'm done.
Done.
I'm done. I'm
wow.
done. Yes. You know, other people at TA will do Chronicle. I mean, I'm done.
I've heard that from, we've heard that from coaches.
No.
And
you don't,
people.
When you have a contract, the contract is over. I'm finished. You will not see me on WTAE ever again.
Unless they interview me. So maybe it'll be somewhere else.
Well, not for a while.
Not for a while.
But
You're gonna enjoy life.
I wouldn't go to another. I wouldn't go to another station, television station. You might see me interviewed at Project Bundelab. You might see me do something that involves. I'll be at Kennywood, so you'll see me at
Kennywood
when they have Kennywood Day. Yeah,
everybody.
But no, I'm finished.
Rob, if that doesn't scream a Pittsburgh life, right? Kennywood.
Potato patch fries does it every time.
I mean, you might see me. I mean, a year from now, you might see me do something on QED. But But no, I'm sort of done with TV. I think I'll use social media now.
Well, I mean,
someone might interview me, do an interview with me, but no, I'm not gonna. Unless someone approaches me and says like a year from now, we'd like you to be part of this documentary, I would consider something like that. I would, yeah. If it were a documentary that spoke to me.
I think when you look back at TAE, and I respect that you wouldn't go anywhere else, but when you look back and you look at some of the folks that even I grew up with, and I grew up obviously watching you and Don Cannon and Paul Long, oh. Adam Lynch.
All of those people
Lynn Cullen,
are dead now.
Yeah.
Well, no,
Lynn's not.
Lynn's still a good friend.
Yvonne, you know.
And Yvonne's gone.
You're right.
And all of those except for Lynn are gone.
So when you think of legends, don't start crying. Don't do that. But when you think of that, I mean, you look at how news has evolved over the years from when you first
started. Some would
say
devolved.
Devolved, right? I mean,
well, when I say devolved, I'm not being sarcastic. It's devolved in that it's different because of the streaming that we have. So many people get their news from iPhones.
Well, everybody's a reporter,
excuse me,
right?
iPhones or whatever, you know, like mobile
Androids,
phones.
Androids.
Yeah. Whatever.
Right.
Or they get them from their computers, or they don't get it at all, or they think they're getting that. And you can get news from Facebook. You can. But it's all mixed up. So some people don't know that what they're reading actually isn't news, and they think it is. And so it's very confusing to know what really is news and what is opinion, because it's gotten all mixed up.
So I don't want to get all political.
No, let's not get political, but that's what I'm saying.
Could you imagine a world, President Kennedy and Reagan, any of those that had access to Twitter, to Facebook, what would that have been like? Knowing what the president's office looks like now with Twitter,
I'm just going to put it this way. Sometimes things are singular, unprecedented. I'm not sure that a precedent would have been set then, despite the access. Does that make sense?
It does.
What I'm trying to say.
It does. It does. I think that, you know.
But we're not talking about retirement.
We're not talking about retirement. We're talking about everything else but retirement. But, and I do want to
get... You put me in a corner. I said I wouldn't do anything for anybody but TAE. There is a loyalty to them.
Absolutely.
I think public television, if they approached me a year from now, because I have to wait a year, if public television were to, and it was an amazing opportunity to be part of something that makes a difference in the community, I would consider that.
But your fans love you so much. I guess that's where it is. That, you know, when Chronicle comes on, or, you know, Black and Gold Steeler came on, people, you know, tuned in just to watch you. I mean,
they didn't either. They
sure
turned
they
in to
did.
Watch everybody.
No, we tuned in to watch you. I mean, I think people aren't done with Sally Wiggin. You may be, but I don't think
you
people
understand
are.
The clout, the people. I mean, she's just
exactly.
Right, listen, I'm 61. I've been down the road, and believe me, I've been known as the hardest working man in showbiz. So for years at KDKA downtown, I had a shower. I was there pretty much around the clock. And I'll never forget one morning I came in, Sally opened the door, and there he was standing in front, fixing that beautiful coiffed head of hair, Don Cannon. The saliva just disappeared from my throat. My palms became sweaty, and I just simply said, Mr. Cannon, you have no idea. This is a joy and a pleasure to meet you. And I was like, it was a Mecca. I was in a desert. I saw like a pool of water. It was like, it was spiritual. This guy to me, quintessential, the best.
Yeah. He was a great anchor.
Yeah. The best.
He was a great anchor. He's also a great writer. He was a really brilliant man who had so many demons and just tragic. I did not even know. Many of us didn't know that he died last year.
Yes, I did.
And they kept it really quiet. And I talked to his brother-in-law recently, and he told me the whole story in it. You know, it broke my heart. I remember we talked. We talked at Yvonne's at the wake after Yvonne's funeral, and
that was a different time and place. Those anchors then, what they were doing and who they were on such a pedestal. I think.
Well, it's because it's not. But it's now diluted.
Exactly.
It's diluted by the number of anchors all the stations have.
Right.
By the number of media outlets where you can get information, by the number of hours of television, by you know, cable versus broadcast. It's very different now. So retiring, it's funny you said, I'll be back, and it was weird. I went, no, actually, I won't be. And I went, and for just a minute, I kind of started to convulse a little bit. Mm. So that's part of retirement, is having to accept that you're not going back, that you have to find another path. And right. I actually right now have no idea what that path is. Well, I have something.
And I think that's okay. And I think I'd love to continue this in our next segment to talk about that next chapter and what's coming up next for Sally Wiggin. And we'll be right back.
You know, you got the gift of gab from your mom and dad, because you're really good at this.
I would actually
listen to this show if I wasn't here. You understand? And that's high
best.
Praise. Trust me when
you're
I'm telling
best.
You. All right, listen, coming back, lots more. KDK Radio proud to announce a new series of events. 2019 Leading Pittsburgh is an informal gathering for business interaction that will feature the region's most influential business leaders. Tuesday, January the 8th from 6 to 8 p.m. First Leading Pittsburgh is going to take place Ruth's Chris Steakhouse downtown. Light food, drinks provided, featuring Pirate President Frank Coonley. Limited tickets on sale now. KDKRadio.com, with the portions of the proceeds going to Pirates Charities. Love what they do. Brought to you by Mata Heating and Air Conditioning. Back with more in a moment.
The following is paid for by Vincentian Collaborative Systems.
Welcome back to This Pittsburgh Life, featuring Vincentian's Nick Vizaka.
All right, Nick Vizaka, you're only good as your team, and you got some bookends in here right now along with Sally, who I just think the world of, especially this Mr. Poister over here, who's always poised. Rather appropriate name. So give them some love, then we'll get back to Sally Wiggin.
Definitely give love to John. I've known John for a short period of time, but...
Yes. I've known him for a long period of time.
So when you talk to Sally and to others, you know, I had the good fortune to sit and meet with Sheila Hyland. This is a legend. John, I guess you could categorize Sally as
a
legend.
One of the brightest people to ever come through.
I told you, Bob Kometz. Bob Kometz, I knew him for 22 years. First thing he said to me, get out of my way, kid. Okay, that was the first thing. But this guy, whenever his name came up in the newsroom, high praise. And Bob Kometz did not throw out, longtime anchor here, by the way, at KDK Radio, just an incredible talent. He just absolutely praised this guy. And to me, that's when I knew he was in that rarefied air.
And that's something I think a lot of Pittsburghers, like I didn't know John Poister's name as a Pittsburgher, because John did a lot of things behind the scenes. Maybe this is a Pittsburgh life that we should showcase in a future show, right?
And you know what? He's the one, we sat and talked about retirement. And what I can do, he's a perfect example of staying incredibly active during retirement. And he's not really truly retired. I wouldn't mm-hmm. call it that. It's just, he's just switched. But I'm going to say this, when Pittsburgh was still a really large market, when it was 9, 10, John ran the desk. It is the hardest job in a newsroom to
pressure.
Run the desk.
A lot of pressure.
Oh, my God.
And also this gentleman behind you, please.
Jude Hazard, my director of communication at Vincentian, who is my right-hand man, and without him, obviously, this wouldn't be going on, and he's fantastic. And I think Jude's young, and I hope someday we'll look at Jude and think of him in the same atmosphere or even same arena as John, because I think Jude has a tremendous amount of potential.
Okay, why aren't the Steelers in the playoffs? You guys can pick it up on that.
Yeah, why don't we do that? So, Sally, I mean, black and gold Saturday, Joey Porter, so, you know, breaking news. I heard that the Steelers contacted you about the linebacker coaching position. Is that true?
in a flag football game, I played linebacker. I did. I knocked down a little 10-year-old, and he started crying.
I mean,
it's awful.
I hate it when they whine.
Who was actually the son of the head of BNY, of Mellon Bank, so it was awful.
It
was bad.
We could probably take that
I think I think it's a combination of things. It's just the perfect storm. I found it very interesting. I saw this morning on ESPN a stat showing that Ben's completion percentage over the past 2 years and interceptions and what have you was better with Juju than it was with Antonio. Over the 2 years, looking at the stats. In other words, I'm pretty sure I had the television on and I saw them, and they said, and it showed Antonio over here and Juju over here, and it was better with Juju. I don't know why that would be. But that's just one thing. I think tragically, I think Ryan Shazier was like a... a Troy Polamalu and James Ferrier, like a quarterback of the defense. And the sudden loss of him just removed a linchpin of the defense.
Yeah,
I think nobody wants to talk about that because it is so tragic, but he was an extraordinary player. And so I think that may have played a role. I've heard other people say that may have played a role, because remember, that was only a year ago. I think that Mike Tomlin is a manager of people, but he doesn't try to micromanage. And maybe some of the personnel, I'm not going to go down that road.
No, we shouldn't. I mean, I think that's a road we could take that over to 93.7 The Fan, and we could talk about that for
hours. I think it's a lot of different things all coming together, and I have perfect faith, faith in Art Rooney and Mike Tomlin
and
Kevin Colbert to fix it.
So one of the things we were talking about,
and others, you know,
they'll fix it.
A true Pittsburgher,
deep down in their heart, knows they'll fix it. But one thing we were talking about when we go back to retirement, we'll switch gears here again. And one of the things that you mentioned, which I thought was curious, and we see this every day in our communities at Vincentian, is you said something that, you know, when retirement comes, and you know, your fear is that you stop, and there's that fear of not talking to people, socialization. And I think that's what you enjoyed the most in your career, was talking to people. But now that's gone in a sense. So how do you continue to keep yourself active?
Well, remember this. I only did in my final year there. It was what I was a contractor, but in my final year I did 5 projects. I did a Steelers special.
Right.
One of the Steelers specials that was in December. And then I did 4 Chronicles. That I was only on the air for those. People had the impression that I was on the air more than that, but I wasn't. I was just on the air for that amount of time. So I had become used to not talking to people on the air, but I was doing a lot of events, and people would ask me to do that. And while I was working on Chronicle, sometimes that was a lot. And so I told some organizations, I won't be able to do this, you know, next year. But now I'm thinking, ooh, I maybe shouldn't have said that. I'd like to continue doing those kinds of things. And like Sister's Place, I'll do that.
Which is a wonderful breakfast I've attended.
Yeah, it's I just love it so much. And the Girl Scouts, Women of Distinction, I've done that now, I think, for 3 years. I am going to be out of the country in May, going to historic stud farms in Central Europe and getting a private showing of the Lipizzan stallions from the Spanish Riding Academy. So that's one of the vacations.
Well.
But what I'm panicking about, and this happened a couple of days ago, I went, oh my God, I'm not seeing as many people. I'm not talking. A lot of my friends are working. I need to talk to people, because one of the risks for Alzheimer's and dementia is not having enough time. And I have small vessel disease.
That's right.
In my brain, it's mild, but it's probably because of 2 things. I've had an autoimmune system disease, not quite scleroderma, but I've had that since 1985, and it affected my heart and apparently a little bit my brain. But the other thing is my alcoholism.
Right.
Affected my. I had in the first 15 years of that alcoholism, I had blackouts, not passing out, blackout. And that affects your brain.
Well, I will tell you.
I am at risk for dementia.
Sure. But one of the events that you will hopefully have on your calendar, and you did this for us the past 2 years at Vincentian, at Jurgles, we held a rock concert, you know, for our senior communities, which had other Pittsburgh legends, Donnie Iris and Joe Grushecki.
And I love them both. I love them. Oh, my God.
And so I'm hoping
they're great friends.
I'm hoping that, you know, everyone listening.
I'll be there.
Yeah,
I'll be
in August. We're going to do that again. And hopefully
August.
We haven't come up with a date. It'll be in August. So when that comes out, you'll be the first to know.
Okay.
But I know you like to travel a lot. One of the things that we also talked about with, you know, our seniors, to keep them active, you know, we've partnered with La Roche College, which is right near our campus in the North Hills. And one of the things that we did was we allow our seniors to participate in the study abroad program with La Roche. So the different trips that they take, they have the opportunity to take those trips. And I know that you had mentioned you're doing 5 international trips here
I may be cutting one of them. I'm definitely doing four. I'm going to Africa twice. And once it looks like I'm going to be going with the zoo to help document them collaring elephants.
But I think having that, so...
I know that.
Wow.
Everybody's going, you're like, what?
But having that intergenerational opportunity, you know, between the seniors and the college students is wonderful. But, you know, and I know that
that's an idea. Thank you.
Yeah. So if you'd like to, we can talk more about that. And I know we're coming close to the end of our time together here, but, you know, two questions I have left for you, and these should be quick for you. Bama or Clemson?
I learned a lot at Bama. I went to school there to save money to go to Michigan because that was my first choice. And I consider it my number one alma mater. I'm a huge Michigan fan and embarrassed to say I'm a Michigan football fan right now. I know it's not. But you know what? Alabama, the people I knew at Alabama shaped me. I was there when John Mitchell was there,
right,
who was the first black player ever there. So in honor of John Mitchell, whom I adore, I will cheer for Alabama.
So Alabama. And then one more question, your New Year's resolution.
Be kinder. I'm not a kind person. I wish I were kinder.
Yeah, you're kind of mean.
She took over as soon as she came in.
Sally Wiggin, folks, is by far one of the absolutely one of the sweetest people. I can't say enough. I'm so honored to be sitting here talking to you.
He's the one who can do talk radio.
He's a natural.
I knew it.
Well, listen, and you know, it's amazing. You're the only Italian, and I happen to be Italian, that doesn't use their hands when they talk constantly.
I'm afraid to hit this microphone.
I'm an air traffic controller. It's like my hands are always moving. But it was such an honor to have you here.
Oh, stop it.
Absolutely.
No, it's an honor to be here.
And you're not going anywhere. You'll be back with this guy, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Great. Already.
Were you intimidated ever working with those guys like Adam Lynch?
I was terrified. No. I'm terrified now. I had to go do a voiceover with some people. One of the guys was from California just a couple of days ago. I was terrified to do it. I thought I wasn't going to talk well. I mean, I've been terrified my whole life. I just fake it.
As a kid growing up, John G. Conomites. Whenever I see that guy, my man John.
Yeah.
And now an editorial with John G. Conomites. All right. It's been a real joy. You're the best. Thank you.
No, thank you. You're the best, Sally.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Kind of like my career.
He's a star.
This is my career. Pennsylvania Resource Recycling. That's the perfect topic for my career. Justin Stockdale is going to be your guest next. This Pittsburgh Life. Nick and I back in a moment. KDK Radio. Stay with us.
Welcome back to This Pittsburgh Life, featuring Vincentian's Nick Vizaka.
All right, Nick is here, and we've got one more guest, and I have had these people on many times on my show. I love what they do, and to introduce him officially, his final guest for this maiden voyage, they'll be back one Saturday a month for the rest of the year. This Pittsburgh Life's your host, Nick.
Thank you, Rob. Justin Stockdale from the Pennsylvania Resource Council, and I feel like I'm going to have a lot of questions and a lot of comments, and I hope this goes well because I think there's a lot of people listening, and I think recycling now more than ever and going green is big, not only in this region but across the country and in the world. And there's a lot of things that do get recycled, don't get recycled. And we joked before we came on the air that I have a TV in my trunk that I don't know what to do with. and I was hoping that you would, but Justin, maybe tell folks a little bit about the Pennsylvania Resource Council.
Well, Nick, if you have questions about your garbage, you found the right guy. I jokingly say this, and it's not far from true, that I've lived in the dumpster for the last 25 years, and I definitely know more about your garbage than you ever wanted to know. So if you've got questions about recycling, I've got answers for you. So PRC, we're an old historic nonprofit in Pennsylvania. We're celebrating our 80th year this year in 2019. Founded in 1939. Here in Pittsburgh, we're really just deeply involved in all things recycling related. So from television sets to old paint to pool chemicals and old medications, reuse operations or reuse collections around old furnishings, old clothing, old dog and pet supplies. And right now, in this moment, we're really focused on the glass question here in the South Hills.
So there's a lot of events that go on throughout the year where the recycling events. But, you know, the one thing that I find interesting, you know, and my wife and I, and Rob mentioned this, I do have to mention my beautiful wife is here with us today. So she's extremely supportive of me and of Vincentian and everything we do. But we live in Hampton, and in Hampton we recycle.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other communities around us that you don't see the recycling bins, and it's not a requirement. How is that regulated?
Yeah, so it's an interesting question. And Pennsylvania is home to what is referred to as Act 101. Act 101 is the state's recycling law. It was passed in 1988. It was, at the time, the most progressive piece of public policy around recycling in the nation. So we were ahead of California and Oregon and the rest of them. This was really, you know, truly progressive legislation. That law dictates who was required to recycle. So one of the key features was mandatory recycling across Pennsylvania. And it has a population and then a population density requirement that if your municipality is over 5,000 people and meets this density requirement, then you as a municipality are obligated to provide recycling to your residents. So there are, I think, 130 municipalities in Allegheny County. I think it's about 90 of them are mandated, required to offer recycling. Of the 40 or so that are not mandated, I think it's probably 32 of them actually offer the service. So to your point, you know, Pennsylvanians, Pittsburghers have been recycling pretty consistently now for 30 years, right? This is embedded in the culture. It is not a fringe activity. It's not the hippies are out recycling, and that's not what it is anymore.
It's almost like putting your seatbelt on when you get in the car. It's become habit even for us and for our kids. But the one, I will say this, and this was interesting. I think 2 weeks ago we were watching 60 Minutes. I make the kids watch because enough of the phones and the games. And one of the things that was talked about was the fact that a lot of the recycling, a lot of the plastic doesn't actually go where you think it goes.
Yeah, so it's, again, a great question. That 60 Minutes piece, unfortunately, I did not see it or get my kids to watch it. I will tell you, my kids are over the recycling conversation in our house. They've heard it for 20 years now. One of the questions and one of the struggles we have in this moment in America with recycling, and truly it's a global question, is we went from a commodity-based recycling system, right? When you started recycling 20, 30 years ago, when any of us did, it was we put our glass bottles in one bin, our paper in another, our aluminum and steel cans in a third bin. We managed commodities very directly as residents. Today, that has devolved into throw everything into one bin and somebody else will figure it out. And so this connection between our waste products, our discards, and actual raw materials for an industry, we've sort of lost that over time.
Right.
So today we now put lots of things in our recycling bin that frankly have never been recyclable, that aren't recyclable today and weren't recyclable when we were told to put them in the bin. Convenience really drove a lot of this practice. So this notion that, you know, putting it all into one bin, it's more convenient for the consumer, putting all plastics in the bin instead of discerning which plastics are truly recyclable and which aren't. We lost that track. And I think one of the great stats that I try to bring up, Nick, in these kind of conversations, plastic is such a great sort of emblem of this challenge. If you go back to, you know, say even 1995, 2000, the plastics in our home, the single-use plastics that we came across in our daily lives, there were maybe, you know, two or four, or maybe six different varieties of plastic in our homes. Today, you're 60, 70 different types of plastics in our homes.
Right.
And so it's not that recycling changed, it's that the products that we use every day changed. And so how did we adapt the systems, the recycling systems, to all of those new materials? Well, we didn't. We just said, keep on putting it in the bin.
Yeah, I think it becomes a challenge. You're right. You talk about things like, you know, BPA, and you talk about the different types of plastics, and whether it's, you know, your deodorant container or, you know, your pop bottle or whatever it is. I think you're absolutely right. There's different plastics, and we take that for granted. We throw everything in one recycling bin and think, wow, this is just going to get magically done.
That's right.
You know, there's a leprechaun out in the field that's going to sort this for us, but it's difficult and it's costly.
That's right. And again, there has to be a downstream end user of a material for it to be recycled, right? You can't magically make a plastic turn into something else magically, right? There needs to be an industry built around consuming that old plastic bottle or can or the glass bottle to turn it into something else before it can ever be recycled. And again, for a lot of those materials, those markets don't exist.
Well, as we come up, we're right in the middle of, we just started winter, but as we come up on the spring season, I know there's a lot of recycling events and a lot of things that I know that I've gone, my wife and I have gone to a couple of them to take, you know, old paint and things like that, whether we go to the Pittsburgh Mills, they have a big event there. But how many events do you foresee coming here in 2019?
So I think on the calendar right now today, we probably have, I think it's 13 of our large scale events. They include 7 household hazardous waste events, where we collect literally everything from pool chemicals to, we've collected in the 15 years of the program, 2 tons of liquid mercury out of people's homes, all the way down to the hard to recycle program. We'll do 6 of those in Allegheny County, and that's the Pittsburgh Mills.
And we will look for all that. We can get onto the Pennsylvania Resource Council's website. We can find all those events, all those dates, and we look forward to recycling here in the new year.
Justin, thanks for all of the early wake-up calls to join me on the radio in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm grateful for that. Nick, out of the park, touch them all. You like baseball? You just hit a home run.
Thank you, Rob.
We'll see you in a month.
Preceding was paid for by Vincentian Collaborative Systems. Information on the program was intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio 1020 KDKA does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information heard on the preceding program.